Do you guys ever feel like the health department is a soap opera with a really weird premise?
Yeah.
what do you think the name for it would be?
General Hospital Administrators.
After we're done with this reporting thing, Dan and I are going to write a screenplay, and this will be the first rejected idea.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, Dan Diamond and Adam Cankren on a new Inspector General report that confirms their reporting from last year on a feud inside the health department and why we should care about it today during the coronavirus pandemic.
What Adam and I found across 2019 was that a senior official named Seema Verma, who's in charge of Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, a $1 trillion agency, one of the president's top health deputies, was steering money toward a series of contracts run by Republican-connected consultants, and including one of Seema Verma's former deputies before going into government. Those contracts were used to message Seema Verma's communications, working on everything from her tweets to networking opportunities. And they ran afoul of what one would expect a top official to be using communications contracts for. Adam and I came at the story in different ways. I had heard that the communications function at the Federal Health Department, specifically in Seema Verma's team, had been largely outsourced to contractors, which was unusual. And it became more and more unusual as the months passed. But Adam got a different tip and came at the story from a slightly different angle.
It kind of came out of a casual conversation that I had had one morning with a good source who, you know, every once in a while would fill me in on things going on inside the Trump administration's health department. And we were catching up, and toward the tail end of the conversation, this person just kind of mentioned offhand that there had been some of this classic office drama over people getting left out of meetings, having their feelings hurt, other meetings being commandeered by these kind of outside people who had come in, these contractors who had essentially taken over a lot of the agency's communication strategy, and in particular, strategy that dealt with Seema Verma and boosting her public profile and writing her speeches. That was kind of a random meeting and thing that kind of piqued my interest, and I brought it back to Dan. From there, I think we kind of took what we had both heard separately and combined it. And in talking with a range of people inside and outside the building, we're kind of able to piece together this portrait of how Seema Verma was bringing in people from the outside and then using them with taxpayer money to substitute them in as high-level government officials.
So now, today, months later, the health department's inspector general, their watchdog, is out with a new report that follows up on the investigation you two did. Adam, what did the inspector general find, and how does it add up with your reporting?
Well, the inspector general found essentially what we found last year, and that is an extensive pattern of Verma treating these outside contractors, again, as if they were high-level government officials, in even mundane things like approving the administrator's tweets. People may say, well, you know, who cares if they're a contractor or if they're a government employee? It matters for a couple reasons. One, accountability purposes. We have a handle on, you know, who government officials and employees are. They're held to certain standards and transparency. And then secondly, it matters from, you know, just a sheer dollars and cents perspective. One of the things that we got at, but I think this Inspector General report really hammers home, is just the sheer amount of taxpayer funds that were put toward this trio of contracts, over $6 million spent on these contracts that were essentially used as cover to bring in people who Verma liked and who she wanted to work with rather than working directly or dealing with the career officials already in the building who could have carried out a lot of these tasks at a lower price to the taxpayer.
Dan, what stuck out to you in the report?
I might point to a few of the emails that are excerpted. There was an exchange in August 2017 that the inspector general references, where one of Seema Verma's contractors is instructing staff that he needs to be one of the guys signing off on the tweets that are going out from the agency. And one official essentially turns to the other and says, is this legal? And the other one writes back, I've been wondering that too. It's that kind of color that's interesting and illuminating after months of coming at this from the outside, to see how people within the building were reacting in real time to some of the oddities of leaning on these Republican communications consultants.
So this is all a year or more than a year ago. I mean, right now we are in the middle of a historic pandemic. You and I talk about this almost every week, Dan. I'm wondering, like, why should we care about this right now when coronavirus is happening all around us?
Well, I think Seema Verma would argue that we shouldn't care about this right now. In her formal response to the Inspector General, Jeremy, which is included in the report, she attacks the timing and says it should not be coming during the pandemic, that it's taking energy away from fighting the virus. She also says that the report mischaracterizes facts, gets some details wrong. She has an extensive rebuttal. But this report, to me and Adam, I think matters for a few key reasons. First, entering the pandemic, what was the situation inside the government's health department? And it was an unsettled situation. Seema Verma is one of the two most important officials, along with Health Secretary Alex Azar, who's nominally her boss. But the two of them pushed back and forth over who might be communicating messages to the American public, who had influence within the White House. And the thinking from Alex Azar's people was that Seema Verma had retained this whole team of communications consultants because she was trying to elevate her profile and go around the health secretary in ways that were unprecedented and inappropriate. I also think that this helps explain some of the bad blood. After Politico's reporting, which first appeared in March of 2019, so essentially almost a year and a half ago, Seema Verma did not leave office. She survived the investigation, and there were significant battles behind the scenes between her and Alex Azar and some of their proxies over who would be steering the health department. So entering the pandemic this year, Verma and Azar's tough relationship absolutely contributed to a more fragmented response as coronavirus began to unfold. It was only after a few months of Alex Azar being in charge of the White House task force that he was replaced by Mike Pence, and Seema Verma, who is a close Pence ally, was brought on board in the beginning of March as a new member of the coronavirus task force. I also think this report is helpful because it shows some of the dysfunction inside the Trump administration in a very clear and transparent way. As journalists, we can do our best in reporting out these stories, but sometimes it feels like we're groping around a room in the dark, trying to put pieces of a puzzle together. This is coming from inside the house. The lights are on, and this kind of report really shows what life is like inside the Trump administration's health department and how even small issues can balloon into crises that shake the administration.
Yeah, to Dan's point real quick, I mean, this to me strikes me as a microcosm of how the Trump administration has run for the past 3.5 years. And by that, I mean, what really emerges here is you have a principal in Seema Verma who is comfortable and only wants essentially to keep decision-making, keep strategizing among a small group of trusted allies, trusted confidants, right? In lieu of a lot of the available career government officials, you know, a building that, in an agency that employs thousands of people, a lot of those who are held over from the prior administration. And I feel like we keep seeing this pop up again and again in that decision-making and strategizing is centralized among a small group of people, whether it's in CMS or HHS or in the White House. And the tension there, the decisions that are made in those small groups and then kind of broadcasted out to the outer rings, really kind of allows you to see how the decision-making happens, how the strategizing happens, how we arrive at a philosophy and a way of running these massive agencies that is far different than I think we have seen in many of the most recent other administrations.
Adam Cankren, Dan Diamond, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Also today, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt has become the only known U.S. governor to test positive for coronavirus. The Republican said virtually in a news conference on Wednesday that he's been getting tested for the virus periodically, and on Tuesday, results came back positive. Stitt says he's isolating at home and feeling fine, but, quote, a little bit achy, adding that he wanted to be transparent with Oklahoma residents and use his story as a reminder to get tested if you're showing symptoms. His diagnosis comes as Oklahoma reported a record high number of new infections with nearly 1,000 new cases on Tuesday. Stitt has resisted a statewide mask mandate in Oklahoma and faced backlash over his decision to welcome President Trump for a rally in Tulsa last month. Stitt says he's certain he did not contract the virus at the event. And American Airlines is considering laying off about 25,000 people as the coronavirus pandemic continues to pummel the airline industry. Executives for the company are notifying workers that their jobs could be eliminated in October, but said the number of layoffs or furloughs could be lower if enough people take buyouts or accept partially paid leave. The move comes as air travel's picked up slightly since mid-April, but remains severely low due to the pandemic. Airline companies in the U.S. accepted up to $25 billion in federal aid to help cover payroll costs in exchange for not cutting jobs until October. The aid appears to have only delayed massive job cuts throughout the industry. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And to stay up on all of our latest coverage of the coronavirus pandemic, sign up for the Politico Nightly Newsletter. We also just launched a new newsletter called Future Pulse that looks at the rapidly changing world of healthcare and technology. You can check out both at politico.com/newsletters. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.